Continuing with Henry Kissinger now, who served as U.S. Secretary of State under both the Nixon and Ford administrations. He won a controversial Nobel Peace Prize in 1973 for ending the Vietnam War, even though his role in that war has been debated ever since. But he was absolutely crucial in developing the most important relationship in the world between the U.S. and China. His new book on China compares China and the West by using the games of Go and chess. The West loves quick tactical chess. The East loves strategic, slower Go. Kissinger was just getting started.
Chinese conduct of foreign policy is very long range and very incremental. The Chinese have lived now as an independent state for, well, you can argue 4,000 years or at least 2,000 years. So they have seen many things come and go. Therefore, for them, no problem is ever totally solved. Problem is an admissions ticket to another problem. Americans have a contrasting view. In our history, most problems, almost every problem, has proved soluble with sufficient effort. So we identify a problem, we want to solve it, we throw everything behind it, and then it's over. So then the way this expresses itself, I think, in the way the West and China look at strategy. The West looks at strategy as overwhelming the enemy with power. Chinese fight incrementally. Let me give the analogy to which you referred, chess and Go. Chess is about victory. The outcome is checkmate. One side defeats the other, and the deployments of both sides are designed for total victory. There's no intermediate outcome. You can get to a draw, but that's not the purpose of the game. And so it ends in a limited amount of time with total victory for one side or the other. There's no limited victory possible. Go has, I think, 160 pieces, all of equal weight. Chess has differential weight. So you have to keep in mind not only what your enemy has done, but what he might do with the 100 hard pieces he may have left. So it takes a long time to bring the game to a conclusion. And sometimes it's not possible to tell who has really won. So it's a different kind of strategy.
In things, in arguments between the United States and China, such as over the valuation of currency, with the United States clearly becoming more and more impatient with the Chinese, and you described the Chinese character as being incremental and extremely long range, how do we then solve these problems?
It doesn't necessarily play itself out on every detail of every negotiation. But let me first tell you in a general way how it plays out, and then apply it to this. The American strategy is aimed at the physical capability of the adversary. The Chinese strategy is aimed at the psychological strategy. In this book, I mention a maxim of Sun Tzu. He wrote The Art of War. It said, the most effective battles are the battles you do not fight. It's the victories you have won before the battle starts by the psychological prostration of your enemy. Now, you take the currency. We take the immediate view. And in the immediate sense, clearly the Chinese currency is valued in a way that promotes its exports. But the fact that we can't defeat that shows also that we are having a lot of domestic problems with our deficits, and that the real problem is if we could fix our structural problems, the Chinese wouldn't have that scope for manipulation.
Losing the deficits would deprive them of the power, and therefore we could have the victory,
right,
instead of the Chinese being able to prolong the stalemate.
Correct. But what the Chinese are undoubtedly trying to bring out a situation in which the dollar is not the only world currency. They're looking 10 years down the road, and they want to be in the same position. Because if you have the world currency, you can use your debt to solve your deficits. Nobody else can do it. But you can only do it up to a certain point. We are right in our immediate complaint. But our solution, that we change our strategy, and the Chinese will in time have to move from an export-driven economy to a consumption-driven economy.
Using their own domestic markets.
And using, of course, their own domestic markets.
And they will need the American expertise, and that's not the strategy we've set up. We're more relying on them, and they can hold us back.
Exactly that.
You know, there are so many points in this book where you can look to ancient history, the history that you experienced in your conversations with Chinese leaders, and think about the problems and the intractable headlines that come into the U.S.-China relationship in this century. But I have to ask you, I'm just wondering, in your knowledge of the strategy of the Chinese, Go versus the tactical supremacy involved in chess. If you feel personally that during Vietnam you might have been overmatched by obsessing more on the tactics in places like Laos and Cambodia and not so much on the long-term strategy as the Vietnamese were, learning their lessons from the Chinese.
I think I even say that in the book at some point, that we suffered from the fact that we did not apply the Sun Tzu strategies to Vietnam. Of course, the part of the Vietnam in which I was involved was the end phase when Nixon became president. There were already 550,000 troops in Vietnam, and we had already suffered the Tet Offensive. So our freedom of maneuver was not as great as it would have been if we had started from scratch. But the fundamental problem of American wars since World War II has been the fact that we would enter the wars with great convictions and then didn't know how to end them. Mm. And then the public debate became exit strategy. But exit strategy is not a reason to fight a war. The reason to fight a war is to have an outcome. And if you can't sell that outcome to your people, you will eventually lose. So in that sense, I would say that of the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the Iraq War, and in a way now of the Afghanistan War, the current debate is again about exit strategy. Exit strategy just gets you out. It doesn't get you anything by itself.
With a huge cost along the way.
With a huge domestic and physical cost along the way.
Author of the new book, On China, Dr. Henry Kissinger, our companion this hour. Go to thetakeaway.org, hear the full interview, including a prescient analysis of the Middle East based on President Obama's 1967 speech of last week.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.